Our meditation today is in Psalm 61. Please turn there with me. Psalm 61, again, dedicated to the chief musician, says, for the sake of the temple on a stringed instrument, and it is a Psalm of David. That's the human author, of course. And the Holy Spirit moved David to write, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings, Selah. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And this is a relatively short psalm. There are shorter ones still, but there are many that are longer than this. We don't know the circumstances here of David writing it, but it is obviously one for temple use. It is thus obviously one for all the people of God in all times, because we are the New Testament temple, of course. Now, David calls out to the covenant God. He calls to the one who has preserved him, giving him the confidence that he shall preserve him, whatever the circumstances may be. It may be that he will be far away from the actual real estate of the land of promise. And David was in that situation before, when he had to flee from Saul. It may be that he is exposed to all kinds of danger. That's happened in the past, but God's been a shelter and a strong tower from the enemy. He is the one in whom David can rest. He is the one in whom David can abide. He is the one who takes David into fellowship with him, intimate fellowship, pictured by the tabernacle there, which was the pre-temple form of the outward house of God. There he could trust in the shelter of Jehovah. He could trust in the shelter of God's wings. Kind of a picture there of a mother bird with its little fledgling. And there we stop with him to think for a moment. How can David say these things? Because he knows that God has worked for him in the past. He says in verse 5, you, O God, have heard my vows. You've given me the heritage of those who fear your name. What do we see here? Well, we see a regenerate heart. One that has given himself over by God's grace, enabling him to do this. Many hundreds of years later, the Apostle Paul would write that it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So David willing and doing these vows, these commitments, this consecration to God's service is done by the work of the grace of God. It's done by the Spirit of God within him, who has made him live, who has given him regeneration, and then giving him faith, as we'll see in a moment, to look to the coming for him Savior. He's heard the vows, and he has been given the heritage of those who fear God's name, and that name is Jehovah, of course. He is adopted into the family. This is speaking of adoption, you see. And then we have this promise here, looking to the future, based upon what's happened in the past. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. And finally, in verse 8, so I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Now, as Peter pointed out on the day of Pentecost, David's tomb was right there, in the midst of the people in Jerusalem. And he was dead. How could David write this? Well, first, because he, like we, have the promise of and confidence in the resurrection. And so this is literally true, that David's life, our life, shall be as many generations if we be found in Jesus Christ. We get to abide before God forever. Because we deserve such a thing? No, it's only because of God's mercy and truth. Those are what preserve David. Those are what preserve us. And so before the throne of God, we get to sing praise to Jehovah forever, daily performing the vows. Now, very quickly, the only reason David could do this, the only reason we shall be doing this, we have the same confidence, of course. We have the same promises. It's because we have the same Savior who exemplified, or I shouldn't say exemplified, who made all this real by going through all of this himself. He has had the cry of God, the cry to God heard. He was not at the ends of the earth. He was right there in Jerusalem, but he was far from his Father's favor, being under the curse for your sin and mine and for all the people of God's sin. His heart was overwhelmed, but he rested upon the rock of God's promise. That's why we can rest upon Jesus, our rock, of course. The Father was his shelter. He abode there in the tabernacle, there of his own body. And because he was heard, because he was raised, we have all this confidence ourselves. Now, Psalm 61 in our psalm book is, again, not a long one. But as we sing it, let us give thanks ourselves. Let us think of God's many mercies to us. And let us take those mercies as kind of a step, a stairway, if you will, to believing in him for future mercies, because all is secured through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 61.